Well, on the coming 4th of July, you're probably going to spend a lot of time outside, especially in the evening, which means break out the bug spray. On that note, there was a line in a Boston Globe story today that caught our eye, and it said that when it comes to mosquito-borne Eastern equine encephalitis, or triple E, Florida has the highest incidence in the nation of the disease, but Massachusetts is number two, which seemed kind of surprising to us. So we asked Tufts epidemiologist Sam Telford why that might be.
We'd love to know. It's what keeps epidemiologists like me going. There are many, many ideas. People point their finger to the climate change scenarios where mosquitoes may breed earlier in the season. And there are even hypotheses about wastewater management mandating retention ponds, which put mosquito breeding right up into development.
But Sam Telford says Massachusetts public health officials do a good job monitoring mosquito-borne diseases, and he says people shouldn't be afraid of the great outdoors.
People should go out and enjoy the outdoors over July 4th holiday. Just take some simple precautions. They should wear mosquito repellent. The deep base repellents off and so forth are very good. They need to be reapplied every few hours. And make sure your window screens are in good shape. Clean up your gutters if you possibly can. Clean up around your homes and don't breed mosquitoes in your backyard. 80% of the problem is around people's homes.
That's Tufts University epidemiologist Sam Telford. Well, on to other news. There's been a well-documented rise in the use of antidepressants. They're now the second most prescribed type of medication in America. WBUR's Carrie Goldberg recently spoke with a physician who says perhaps what's needed isn't more medicine, but better metaphors for how we think about depressive disorders. Carrie is the co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, and she joins us. Hi, Carrie.
Hello, Meghna.
So what triggered this latest Common Health post about depression?
Well, the latest post was triggered by a book with the title How Everyone Became Depressed. Now, who could resist a title like that, right? It's written by a medical historian, actually a historian of psychiatry named Dr. Edward Shorter from the University of Toronto. And he documents the sort of change in popular thinking as reflected in popular diagnoses and prescriptions about depression.
Well, but this, I mean, so there's this book, but maybe when it comes to the popular thinking, you even had an experience in your own life about this?
Yes. Actually, I opened the post with the scene from a party a few months ago in which I was standing in a kitchen, a little tiny kitchen at a party with about four other women, other middle-aged women by my, along with myself. And they were all talking about Celexa and Wellbutrin and Zoloft. And I realized that I was the only woman in this group who was not actually taking an antidepressant. So that was part of what made me pick up this book as well.
Well, is that what Shorter says? Because it is quite a change that we've experienced in medical and popular culture in, what, the past generation or two, where medications for depression are no longer prescribed only for classical major depression.
Right. So Shorter makes a couple of really important points. One is that there still is classic major depression, which is a very serious disease and oftentimes should be treated with either electroshock therapy or very serious antidepressants. But then there's this huge category of the rest of us who may have these symptoms that have been common for a very long time, insomnia, you know, sort of nerves, anxiety, small aches and pains and bodily symptoms. And in the old days, that would have been called nervous disease or nervous exhaustion. You would have a nervous breakdown. And he argues that these days, in large part because of the marketing of antidepressants, we tend to think of that constellation of symptoms as being depression, and we reach for the Celexa and the Wellbutrin and the Prozac.
Well, let me ask you about that, because, yes, on the one hand, it's been fairly well documented that, for example, pharmaceutical companies that are looking at patent expiration on certain drugs will do some clinical trials and say, yes, this drug can also be used for anxiety disorder or whatever. They get their patent extended, and therefore they can market even more. Very lucrative business for them. But on the other hand, I mean, when you spoke with Dr. Shorter, Is he saying that afflictions that aren't major depression don't deserve any sort of medical treatment whatsoever?
I think he's not saying that. What he's saying is that we might want to be aware of how we think about these symptoms and ourselves.
Carrie, take me back for a second, because I am quite intrigued by what you reminded us of how, you know, 100 years ago, these ailments were treated by rest and relaxation removed from the daily grind, where you'd, you know, go to a sanatorium and sit on a bench under a tree and I don't know what you do, contemplate life or whatever.
And relax.
And relax. Now, is Dr. Shorter saying that he thinks we should be moving back towards that kind of treatment for nervous ailments or anxiety-related disorders?
I mean, he's saying not only, but he's saying that there are certain things that we know work well for the low-level, what he would call non-melancholic depression, so the not major depression. We know that exercise works. You know, we know that, rest can help. We know that therapy can help. Antidepressants may not be the best ones.
Now, I know you asked him, could it be possible that we actually are more depressed than people were before?
And he gave me this very resounding no. He said that every epoch thinks that it's the most depressed and that it's having the most stressful time. And people have been talking about the quick pace of modern life since the 19th century, actually, if not earlier. And so even though it may seem logical that we are suffering from more stress than our predecessors and that therefore we're more likely to be depressed, his point is that major depression has a strong genetic component and our genes do not change very quickly.
Well, Carrie Goldberg is the co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Carrie, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And you can read Carrie's post about Dr. Edward Shorter and his new book, How Everyone Became Depressed, at commonhealth.wbur.org.
And stay with us. Still to come, bosses who bully and what to do about them. A proposed Massachusetts law would make it easier for employees to sue abusive bosses. But are legal remedies the best way to change office culture? Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.